Cesspool Cinema, and this time around, it's Goodfellas.
Goodfellas, yes. For as long as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
Is that true?
From Britain.
Brixton?
Brixton, yes.
All right, so I'll kind of go over this with notes, and you guys fill in with anything you're feeling. Three amigos are rolling down the highway, and they hear a thumping that they think is a flat tire. But when they pull over, they realize the person in their trunk is still alive.
Yes.
And this is actually a really crazy strange scene to start a movie.
Yep.
They proceed to shoot and stab the body while yelling, "Die!
Die! Die, motherfucker! Die, motherfucker! Die!"
Yeah, and it was funny because, like, I'm sitting here, and I've never seen the movie. That's what this premise of this podcast is. Throughout this whole movie, I'm going, holy shit, I have heard so many sound clips from rap songs.
From this movie?
From this movie. So I'm going, oh, shit. Oh, you know what I mean?
So you're like, just waiting for them to say one of them? You're like, hey, I know that. That's from that song.
It's nuts. Then we see a flashback of why one of the fellas wanted to become a gangster when he grew up. So Paulie, who kind of looks like an Italian Gary Baker, there was a long-ass montage of this kid working for the mob, and that was Henry Hill. So you want to kind of talk about the montage? Because he started young, right?
Yeah, he started young, and it's all based on a true story. Of course, with it being Hollywood, they've greatly exaggerated certain aspects of it. But the whole movie is based on a real-life person, Henry Hill, who grew up in the mob. But yeah, the opening scenes is basically him as a kid setting fire to cars, selling cigarettes from the back of a truck. The beginnings of him becoming a mobster.
So his dad was a little bit abusive?
Yep.
When they found out and they rolled up on the
postman?
Yeah, I thought, oh, for some reason I thought, oh, they're going to kill his dad. And then that just didn't end up being the case. So I kind of got swerved there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just for watching.
Do you wish they would have killed his dad?
Sure. Why not? Get it out of the way, right?
Right. Just another body count.
It doesn't matter. We move on to Henry, all grown up, and we get introduced to a slew of gangsters. They show how they were robbing trucks due to intel they got from the airport that Paulie owned. Do you think Paulie kind of looks like an Italian you?
Maybe.
I'm not that far off, right? Maybe. Am I far off?
Not that far off.
Okay. Tommy and Henry are shown laughing and having drinks. When Sonny asks Tommy for back money he owes, Tommy shoves Sonny away and kicks him in the ass. Sonny goes on to complain to Paulie about Tommy, and they end up being partners in the restaurant business. This was what was crazy. I'm going, oh, there's going to be some strife, right? No. No. Shortly after that, they show the mob running the restaurant out of business. Now, this kind of thing always happened. I mean, we're here in Kansas City. Big mob ties in Kansas City.
Oh, there are?
Huge mob ties.
Actually, now you say that, in the other movie that's very similar to this called Casino, which I'm not going to make you watch because it's too similar to this one.
Yeah.
One of the accountants handling the money is in Kansas City. So they're doing a lot of... This is set back in the... 70s, 80s.
There's several books on the mob in Kansas City that I would suggest anyone read. I've read like three or four of them, but it's crazy. If you lived here, you're going, oh, wow. Because you know all the areas that were hugely...
like that's where they found his body, under that bridge.
River Market was huge. Mm. But yeah, that's for people here. I mean,
we should say as well, while we're on the subject of Paulie, the actor that played him, Paul Sorvino, recently died in real life. But he has a daughter.
Your doppelganger.
My doppelganger. He has.
Google that badge. Paulie from Goodfellas. Tell me if that's not an Italian Gary Baker.
It's Paul Sorvino. His daughter acts as well. Mira Sorvino. She was caught up in the Harvey Weinstein thing.
Oh.
But she was in, it's a movie Badger's seen, but I'm sure you haven't. Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion. Very funny movie. She was the star. She was the lead in that. She's been in other stuff too. But yeah, she was caught up. She was abused by Harvey Weinstein.
Oh, all right.
So she was testifying against him and everything.
Yeah.
And in his very, very Paulie-like voice, her dad said, "If I ever get my fucking hands on Weinstein, forget about it."
The next few scenes are Henry courting him a biatch. He finds out that the neighbor was bad to her, and he goes and he blasts him in the face with a gun multiple times.
Pistol whips.
He tells her to hide the gun, and it turns her on.
Yes.
They then get married, so she must have been really fucking turned on.
By guns to get married.
They then show conflict between the bride's parents and Henry. A few scenes later, they show Henry boning the wife after hearing her complaints. Next few scenes is her explaining on how normal the gangster life became to her.
Uh-huh.
So she's all good for it.
Got swept up in it.
As we move forward, we see Jimmy, Henry, and Tommy beat to death a fellow fella for disrespecting Tommy and his shoe-shining past.
Yes, go get your fucking shine box.
They go to Tommy's mom's to get a shovel to bury the body, but his mom is awake, and they proceed to eat a feast and talk.
And the mom, played by director Martin Scorsese's real mother.
No shit.
And most of that scene where they're sitting around the dinner table, eating, and they're talking about they ran over a deer, and its hoof is hanging out of the front grill of the car. Most of that was just improvised, because Scorsese just said to them, just sit down and eat and talk, and I'll film it. So most of that whole scene was improvised.
So then I put, oh, well, damn, I guess that guy I thought was dead actually wasn't, and it's a callback to earlier in the movie. So that was the flashback.
Billy Batts, yep.
The fucking guy in the trunk at the beginning, so now we're in full circle. So that's just what happens when you're first watching a movie. They then show the fellas out with their girlfriends, not their wives, because different nights are for different biatches.
Yes.
I'm down with this. Next thing you know, they have to redig up the body they buried 6 months prior so construction workers won't find the corpse. Is that where Jimmy Hoffa was? He was in some construction site, supposedly.
Probably still
is. We can't talk about that, right?
Well, you can.
Oh, no, I can't.
Oh.
Moving on to Tommy, busting the balls of a guy serving drinks and shoots him in the foot.
Spider, yes.
After telling him to dance. This was a disturbing scene. Now we see the wife, Karen, throwing Henry's keys out the window and arguing with him about whores.
Is this the conversations that you and your wife have when you tell her you're coming out to play darts with me?
I think that's every.
Every married man has that.
We then cut to Tommy killing the kid who served drinks because he told him to go fuck himself. You don't do that. Karen is shown trying to communicate with a whore in an apartment that she's holding a gun to Henry. Henry to his face, this movie is really picking up. So what I was saying is it was kind of starting slow, but everything starts really going fast towards the middle part. Nothing happens because Karen is still horny for him. And doesn't want to give him away to the whores.
She wants his love gun, not his actual gun.
Henry then turns the crazy tables on her and puts the gun in her face. And she screams that she's sorry. And I said, typical stable lady here.
Yeah.
We've all been there. Italian Gary Baker tells Henry that his bitch be tripping. And then he has to go back to the loony bin. And he has to stay seeing the cunt to keep up appearances. That's what he says. But before he tells them to go on vacation and have a good time, they cut to a scene of them beating up a guy in the back seat of a car. Now, that's fun. Now, that was the Miami trip, right?
Right, and they were going to feed him to the lions.
Yeah, this was a little weird. Yeah, they go to a zoo and threaten the guy by hanging him over a lion or a tiger's den, but the guy that did that had a sister who worked for the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
And it was said that the fellas would be doing time like R. Kelly. That was actually relevant when I watched the fucking film months ago. Thanks, Gary. We then move on to how awesome jail is for mobsters. They eat and drink like kings and have side businesses with guards.
Yes.
Karen is back, being a Karen, visiting Henry and arguing with him about, guess what? Whores. A lot of this movie is that. Whores!
I know she's been here. I saw her name on the fucking sign-in sheet.
Fuck.
You get your own bread with cocaine in it next time.
Shit. Skip to 4 years later, and Henry is out of the clink and visiting his kids. And then they feast and Polly warns Henry about Jimmy and Tommy. Cut to a montage of Henry's new booming cocaine business, where he hires Jimmy and Tommy. It's Christmas, and everyone is celebrating the huge heist that they pulled off. Okay, so I said, this is kind of a funny scene, and this is actually my favorite scene, where Jimmy is mad that people are buying stuff with the stolen money. Would you agree you like this scene?
I love that scene. What'd I say? What'd I say? Are you fucking dumb or something? What'd I say?
Tommy goes and murders the loose ends of the heist operation. Then we find out he's becoming a made man. So real quick, we go back to that. Do you remember this scene where everyone's buying stuff? They come in a fur coat and he goes, What are you doing?
It's supposed to lay low, not get flashy. And then one of the other guys tries to explain it away. It's in my mother's name. Like, the FBI is still going to fucking... And then the one comes in with a fur coat and he takes it off of her. He says, no, take this off. It is a great scene.
Next thing we know, Tommy is killing Morris, the guy who helped with the heist plan, and his wife is freaking out. Then there's more loose end murdering from Jimmy, and bodies are showing up everywhere. This was crazy.
The one in the meat truck is the one that gets me.
Yeah.
Now, you remember what that guy looked like, the guy that was in the meat truck, when he was alive and when he was dead? There's a character in The Simpsons who's also an Italian mobster that looks just like...
Mm.
And the actor that played that guy in Goodfellas sued the makers of The Simpsons, saying that this character was 100% based on me in Goodfellas because it looks like me and it talks like me. He lost the case because he lost the lawsuit. But yes, there's a character in The Simpsons who's part of the mob. And the guy that runs the mob in The Simpsons is called Fat Tony. And he looks like Tony Soprano. I mean, and he's dead, isn't he? Gandolfini. But he never sued The Simpsons. But yeah, this other guy did. Frankie, I think his name was in the movie.
Cut to the made man ceremony. And we see Tommy get shot point blank in the head when Jimmy finds out he cries. Kind of a crazy scene.
And destroys the phone booth.
Is that like the most prophetic scene there is there? Because that is kind of a crazy scene.
Because there's nothing they can do about it. It was revenge.
We then see Henry delivering guns and being followed by a helicopter, or so he thinks. Henry is bossing people around and cooking up drugs and is looking worse and worse. Then Henry gets arrested and he finds out he's being phone tapped, etc.
He did look bad, almost like a crack whore, but I think because I don't know any crack whores, so...
He gets out of jail, and he has to plan to get up enough money and disappear, but Karen flushed all the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Karen and Henry proceed to cry themselves to sleep. Henry goes to Polly, tells him that he fucked up, and that he's clean. Polly gives him $3,200.
Yep, now I gotta turn my back on you.
Karen meets Jimmy, who gives her some cash and offers her dresses, but then she goes to pick out the dresses and sees thugs and runs off paranoid. This was a weird scene. He was like, keep going.
Yeah, he was gonna have them thugs kill her, I think. Mm-hmm. And she figured it out.
Now Henry meets Jimmy. Jimmy tells him that he has a good chance at beating his case. Jimmy tells him to go to Florida and kill someone because that'll make all the problems go away.
Yeah, he'll no longer be a liability if he kills somebody.
Henry and Karen meet with witness protection agent. And now we see Jimmy going into a cop car, and now Polly.
And side note here as well, the guy who's playing the witness protection is actually the one who in real life had that same conversation with the real Henry Hill and his wife.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah. They auditioned people to do it, and he was like the consultant. And they saw the people auditioning, and they said, you know what? Why don't you just do it?
And then my last sentence is, we see that Henry has become a rat. And then we roll the credit.
Yes.
That's a painful end.
And it doesn't actually say in the movie, but when you read on when you read up about the real Henry Hill, where they moved him to initially was Omaha, Nebraska. So all that thing where he's saying, I order spaghetti or whatever, and all I get is noodles and ketchup. Yeah. They moved them to Omaha from New York. We should also pause here for a second. Now that I think about it, we talked about the actor that played Paulie, and all of these people in this movie are based on real-life characters. And the real Henry Hill said they got most of them right. He said Joe Pesci really nailed the character of Tommy. Only two major differences. One, the real Tommy was like much younger. He was in his 20s or 30s because he went missing. Like, you know, that he in real life, they don't know if he was shot or not like he was in the movie, but they assume he was because he went missing. And there's a rumor that John Gotti himself was the one who killed the real life Tommy. So there's two things. One, he was actually a lot younger in real life. Pesci was in his 50s when he played him. In real life, the real Tommy was late 20s, early 30s. And the other thing that's wrong about that is that the real Tommy was a really big dude, like twice as big as Joe Pesci, like real big buff dude. So, but he said, the real Henry Hill said, apart from that 99% of what Joe Pesci was acting, he said it really reminded me of who Tommy was in real life. He was just a psycho that would just lose it at any given second and go nuts. I think he got the best supporting actor at the Oscars back when they were all white and no black people were allowed at the Oscars. Do you remember that? Yeah, and the real Henry Hill, he lived right up until about 2008, but he was kicked out of the witness protection program because he started selling drugs again while he was in the witness protection program. And then eventually he moved back to New York, and of course he'd have to have three bodyguards with him at all times. And then he wrote a follow-up book to the Good for Wise Guy, the book. He wrote a follow-up book. And then I know at one point he had his own podcast way back when. So maybe he died recently, I don't know. But I know it's been at least 10 years since he's dead. And he ended up dying of like throat cancer or something very un-mafia related. Like I said at the start, some of it's been Hollywood glorified, if that's what you want to call it. But Henry Hill says that, you know, most of it was pretty accurate. And 2012 is when Henry Hill died.
All right. So out of 10, Goodfellas.
9.
6.
6. One of the main characters in it was named after you, Jimmy.